Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, one in the books, two to go, plenty more show. Nick, Joel, and Barry till 4 o'clock, till we turn it over to the King of Happiness and Fred Fowler. In the meantime, it looks like people are clamoring on phone calls to switch gears.
Uh-oh.
And to get into some of the other topics.
Wouldn't exactly call it clamoring.
Of the day.
It might be.
Or of last night. So I will first throw it out there to you guys. Nicholas, I think I already know the answer with you, but did you watch, in Nick's case, I believe he went to the Rockets game against Miami.
Yep, I did.
I could have predicted that outcome. And Raj, our intern, was very upset about it on Twitter, and I said, if you go back and look at the recent history, whenever the Rockets play the Heat on the last game before All-Star break, and I had mentioned it to you guys when it was when they're at South Beach with the game before the All-Star game, they normally get pummeled by 20-40, which I think has happened 2 of the last 3 times. But last night, I saw before the game the graphic that said if they win against the Heat last night, they tie for the best record after 58 games in franchise history. And immediately then I'm like, they're not getting it. That curses them right there, and I just got a bad, bad feeling.
But you're saying, so like you were saying, people were already knocking them and stuff, right? Like, oh, look what happens when you don't have a center because Whiteside went off.
So right at,
but here's the thing.
Wait, like, they're knocking them now after this game, like the sky is falling.
Yeah, but what you just said, like you're one game away from that. So just because they lost that game and didn't achieve the record,
you didn't hear me say it before.
No,
you come
but I'm
at
just
me.
I know, yeah. But I'm just saying to them or anyone that's panicking, it's like you were one game away from the best start in what 58 games.
Yeah. So or 58 why games would you in franchise history?
Yeah, why would you freak out about that? You were literally at the cusp of it. So it doesn't. I mean, I get what you're saying about being jinxed, though.
Or, yeah, you know. Well, and guys, look, now that the All-Star break is extended, make no bones about the fact that guys make plans and they can't wait for a week of sunshine and beaches.
I can only imagine
everything, right? Just to get away. So that, and then especially when the Rockets normally used to wrap up the season, I mean the All-Star break in Miami, there were guys that were already gone. I mean, the night before, it didn't matter if they had a game the next night or not; they were already ready to like let's get to All-Star break. So it's hard from that fact. But, literally, we know the passion of Rockets fans, but the rational opinions of Rockets fans go out the window after a game like this.
I mean, yeah, you did note the history. I didn't know about the history with Miami, but I'd kind of probably want to go out. If I was able to go to Miami and have a night out, I'd probably do it too. But regardless, it's still a team that they should have beat. They just...
Well, take a step further, Nicholas. Not only should they have beat them, they got swept by them.
Yeah, which is even worse.
There are people tweeting, if you think you're a contending team and you get swept by the Hawks and the Heat in the same season, they're not even close. That's a Twitter person, not me. But I'm saying that was just one of many that I got last night. And I'm like, don't, you know, you're not back on Choke City on the ledge with an anvil with those commercials back in the day. I mean, to Barry's point, which is very, very valid, they win last night. They tie the best record for 58 games in franchise history. So it's not like they had a really rough start to the season. The All-Star break isn't even the midway point. They're almost 3/4 of the way through a season. They're the 3rd seed in the West. You should be thanking your lucky stars and be happy as hell. But they're not.
And the only upside they got right now, I mean, the big upside they have is that they've got, 40 wins going into the All-Star break, which I think a lot of us did not expect. But at the end of the day, it's still a game that they should have won. I was watching it and I felt like the poor rebounding in the first half is what really, really messed things up for them. And then I saw some people tweet out, oh, they live and die by the three-pointer. They did try to penetrate to the basket and make things happen. They just were not able to.
Whiteside's just a beast, dude. Whiteside's a shot blocker.
Eric Gordon may have was able to get to the basket maybe freaking 7-8 times. He missed, like, I think almost every single one of his layups. Harden struggled to score when he penetrated. And yeah, they do kind of live and die by the three-point shot, but there's been a lot of times where they try to penetrate the basket and it worked. In this case, it just didn't. Whiteside had a good game. Waiters had a decent game as well. And there was more of a team effort. There was more points being spread around for the Heat than there was for the Rockets. So
I find it ironic too when Whiteside was available that I know people that had evaluated him, for the team, and people don't realize he was on the D League team for the Rockets.
Yeah,
that they just thought that there was a lot more that people didn't know that
he had 5 blocks.
Oh, no, I was thinking in the fourth quarter. He should have gotten credit for at least 6.
Yeah.
And they took one away.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking in the fourth quarter, he may go triple-double with blocks.
Yeah. And I was, like, making notes as I'm watching this. Like, first quarter, poor defense. Second quarter, poor rebounding. And they never really put it together either way. And I got to admit, though, one of my favorite parts of the broadcast, and you probably didn't hear this, Nick, because you were at the game, but when they just finished interviewing Otis Thorpe, which was awesome to see.
Right.
And they gave away 5 possessions on offensive rebounds by the Heat. The Heat got 5 offensive rebounds
straight
in a row
through.
And scored. And on the way back down, when the Rockets are taking the ball back down, Clyde goes, "I know Whiteside is big, but Jesus Christ."
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And Worrell
first
goes,
of all, Nick, he's not supposed to drop the JC.
No, and Bill Worrell goes, "Yeah, he was pretty big too."
Bill had a good one there.
Hilarious. And like, because Clyde was just losing his mind. I was just expecting to start dropping F-bombs, dude. It was great. Like,
yep.
Clyde was really upset that they gave up 5 rebounds on one possession.
And not only that, it's not like they're getting these offensive rebounds to Heat and they're making it on the second and the third try. They're making it on the fourth and the fifth try.
5 in a row.
But can you also go just a little step further than that, please? It's not like Whiteside was the guy who was grabbing all these offensive rebounds during that sequence.
Tyler Johnson
yeah. Continually, just on straight hustle. You watched where he came from. He saw a ball go up. He came from the weak side. He slithered into the lane. No one put a body on him. And he got put back after put back after put back. And I'm going, what are they doing?
And the other thing is, if you look at, and I mean, I noticed it midway through the third quarter. But with Capella, he always seemed to be out of position for rebounds. Like, I don't
defensively,
know if it's just a young guy that's still learning. But the other thing about being out of position, you could really tell how frustrated people get on that team with Sam Dekker. At one point, Harden and Ryan Anderson were trying to set up a double pick because this was right when Ryan Anderson was going off.
Yep,
and was making everything in sight. And it looked like they were trying to set up a double pick to get Ryan Anderson to run through to free him up for another 3. And Dekker wasn't paying attention, and Ryan is pointing and getting angry, like, on the court while they're running the offense. And it's like, that becomes a liability, especially if you're trying to put things together. He's out of position on defense and getting yelled at.
There were multiple people. I can't tell you how many times Ryan Anderson is in the paint, shooting a layup, getting his own rebound, shooting a layup,
getting fouled.
And then the other four members on the other 4 members on the team are not even in the paint. They're just expecting Ryan Anderson to hit the layup. And they're just waiting to get back on the other side of the court. And it's not going to work like that.
And then the other thing I noticed that just infuriates me is, again, it happens. And it usually happens at least once a game. Harden gets fouled or misses a shot and thinks he's fouled.
And stays on the offensive end.
And exactly. Yep. Didn't get back. It was 5-on-4, which led to a 3-point bucket, which completely ruined the momentum that they were trying to build. And it happened again.
Did it on 2 straight possessions. Oh, I saw that. And it was over by the Miami bench.
Yep.
And he just stopped.
Exactly.
Yep. And here's the other thing. So I had tweeted Nick during the first half. When you let a team shoot 85% for over 3 quarters of the first quarter, and they end up shooting over 70% for that quarter, and then you let the same team finish the first half on a 22-10 run, and in between you let a team have 5 offensive rebounds on one possession and have 11 more offensive rebounds than you, in said half, you are digging a hole that is going to be very hard to dig out of. Then at halftime, you find out no Pat Beverly, who at least was playing defense and was scrappy, and he was actually moving the ball and doing some things. Now you take a guy that at least was dialed in on both ends of the floor out, and that is a recipe for disaster for this team.
Yeah, it was just not good. I mean, rebounding was a struggle. I think the shots not falling was obviously a struggle, but I think every time that someone was shooting a layup and the other four members of the team are not in the paint trying to get a rebound, that was probably my most frustrating part of the entire game.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Drove me crazy.
You've heard what we've had to say. Todd's been waiting a long time. Todd, we want to get you in here. What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's up?
All right, Joel, so I have a question. It was mainly for you. You worked with the organization for a while, so I know you're somewhat intimate with the workings of it. When Ibaka just got traded to Toronto for a first round and a player, would that not have been exactly what the Rockets needed? The defensive presence, the big body in the paint. He's got NBA Finals experience, playoff experience. I believe him and James played in OKC together. And it seems like Toronto didn't give up the world to get him. Like, you couldn't put together a Sam Decker package or something. I just feel like that move in itself was the big-name presence you needed in the paint to really help this team. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Appreciate it, Todd. Yeah, I had mentioned it all throughout the process, including when the trade went down. I thought Ibaka was the perfect fit. There were things that I was worried about. One, could he and James coexist? Because when James was traded, there had been a fallout between those two off the floor a little bit. So I saw during the game that it looked like when Orlando was here recently, they got along well enough that I thought it would work. I thought he'd be the perfect fit. And the whole reason why I thought they'd never get him is they couldn't come close to the package and they wouldn't do the package that Toronto did. Because Terrence Ross has proven that he may be a poor man's DeMar DeRozan, but he is athletic, he's young, he can shoot. He gives them exactly what they need in Orlando because they don't have Oladipo anymore. And they get a first-round pick. I don't think that Daryl would have parted with a first. I don't think the package they could have put behind that would have competed with Toronto simply because, and I think, Nick, you and I were talking about this, I said it would have had to have involved Montrezl Harrell, Sam Decker, the first-round pick, and maybe more. And you may say do that, but the problem then becomes your bench even becomes more depleted and less effective than it is now because of the fact that there's just... their second unit is a problem.
Yeah, that's what we talked about then. That's why I didn't think it would happen, because it would give up too much depth for the Rockets.
But I agree that Ibaka would have been the perfect fit. So let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Chime in. Twitter, text, phone calls. We're here till 4. We'd love to hear from you. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry until 4. As we continue to roll on, again, with the theory that is of all theories, don't leave a dick holding too long, or dick is gone. That's what happened. Dick was holding, and he wanted to talk about the Rockets. And Dick was holding too long and couldn't hold it anymore.
Did
so
you
Dick
notice real
gone.
Quick, and I know we don't want to spend too much time on the Rockets, but did you notice how physical Ryan Anderson was when he got 4 3-pointers in a row in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. He was aggressive.
And he was trying to rebound, and he was putting a body on people. Why doesn't he not play like that all the time?
You know what I liked? I liked the technical foul because it had more fire to him.
And he was like that. He goes, he earned it. He had no problem, you know, yelling at the ref.
He meant it. I mean, he wanted it.
Well, yeah. Barry and I saw it. He got fouled twice on the same possession.
Yeah. Rockets don't have a dominant center. Thanks, Joel.
I'm going to take credit for
still
that.
Still going on.
Yes, they do. He's just the CEO.
But yeah, Anderson, he looked so good. When he got pumped up and he really started, when he hit those 4 3-pointers, it almost seemed like he wanted to be in the paint. I don't know if it's something I just noticed for the first time, and maybe he's done it before,
But he didn't want to be in the paint because they needed him from three, but he had done nothing for 3 quarters. And then I loved his aggressiveness. He was looking to, like, someone better be coming up to set a screen for me.
I don't know that I agreed with putting him on Whiteside, though.
I agree with that.
That was a dumb move. Like, Ryan Anderson has no business trying to guard. Nor did Capella. Capella was getting bodied.
Yeah.
Like, just abused.
Now that's normal for Clint Capella with like a DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
But when Hassan Whiteside, who's relatively same body type, is moving you around in the paint, that's a problem. And to your point on Anderson, when the ball hasn't crossed half court yet and he's already almost horizontal leaning on the back of Whiteside, you're like, this is gonna end really badly.
What I didn't understand is why you wouldn't have gone more with Montrezl Harrell and Nene, because they're bigger and stronger than Anderson and Capella. And I get Capella's more of a finesse guy, but what are you going to do? Like, I understand, are they trying to get him away from the basket on offense or whatever? And great, but man, he was just abusing them on the boards and everywhere else.
I felt bad for Harrell, but it's one of those bad matchups because he's almost a tweener.
Yeah.
In terms of his height, that Whiteside was still going to get every shot he wanted because Harrell's just too short. I thought Nene was the guy. I thought Nene, and he came out with that one aggressive when Harden gave him the no look down the middle, and he got the bucket right there. And I was like, okay, this could be a Nene night where he could really excel.
I kind of thought so too.
I saw that too, yeah.
And then it wasn't there. But then Harrell got real limited playing, and I would love someone, Nick, when you're at shoot around or with D'Antoni, to just ask, what's the rationale for when you play and don't play Harrell? Because the guys on the broadcast were even saying, well, we know Montrez is in there. That means they're desperately in need of energy, and they're admitting it. He should be in there more anyway because the system fits him.
And I know he's a tweener, but I still think he would have had a better opportunity to at least box out and put a body on Whiteside as opposed to Capella. Capella's just – I don't want to say he's soft. He's just thin.
But here's
he just can't get down there and bang with people.
He may not be a cupcake, honey, but he's soft.
Yeah.
6 minutes into the game, they check out Clint. They check in Nene, and they put Capella on the bench.
The right move.
Yep.
But it didn't really work. Like he was in the game literally for 6.5 minutes, and they benched him.
But he got in foul trouble.
Yep.
Whiteside got in foul trouble.
I think Capella would have been benched He gets benched pretty quickly in games. Not necessarily.
Who are you speaking of?
Capella.
Oh, he sure does because it's all defensive. Offensively, all he has to do is float around the rim,
yeah,
and know how to do the high pick and roll with James, or cut down the lane when James is driving. And even Beverly found him from the corner last night with an alley-oop. Offensively, they never worry about him because they don't have to call a play for him. But he's gonna get his just simply on being in the right spot. He knows where to go. Defensively is where he's a liability. And what you guys were talking about is at a stretch in which Miami was shooting better than 85% from the floor.
Yeah,
and a lot of it was because it was Whiteside left, Whiteside right, Hook in the middle. You know, he was just getting whatever he wanted, or it was a putback. And I thought
they were draining threes.
And remember the first time they played Miami? Nene took it personal when Whiteside dunked on him, and then he dunked on Whiteside, and it was like, okay, Nene's coming to play tonight. He's got some fire and he's got some motivation. I thought this was going to be a perfect opportunity for him to shut down Whiteside, and it just didn't happen.
Richard Stites said, I got an eye cramp from rolling my eyes at Joel's jokes today. Thanks, Joel. Yeah.
It's better that than a belly cramp, which could have shaken Houston.
Chris Davis said Tyler Johnson just had fun rebounding all over the Rockets.
It was.
He was abusing them, man. And somebody said that, well, I'm not going to read it word for word, but they're basically saying the Rockets are soft, call them the B word. And Matt from Beaumont said the Rockets aren't contenders. Why give up all the picks and players when the Warriors win the West the next 2 years anyways?
I disagree
with that.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, you've got to take a shot. The Warriors didn't win the championship last year. That'd be like saying, why even play? The Cavs aren't going to beat the Warriors.
And I'm okay with you saying they're not an elite team, but I'm not okay with
they're people contenders.
Saying, oh, they're not even close to an elite team because they lost to the Heat. I don't agree with that.
I'm not saying that, but I've been saying all year that they're not contenders yet.
But I disagree. They're one of the three best teams in the West, which is by far the best conference in the NBA. I think they're one of the five best teams right now in the NBA, even as bad as they're playing. In spurts, they've had some runs. I mean, what, they rattle off 4 out of 5 going into the All-Star break? I'll take that.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad run.
And this Heat team had just rattled off 13 in a row, and were playing really well. I think something like the number one offense in the I heard something, maybe you heard it on the broadcast, something about like the number one offense of the last week or two or something like that. They weren't terrible. They're record-wise, they are, but 13 in a row, you've got to be putting something together to do that. It's not just a fluke.
You know what started it, right?
The Rockets.
Yeah.
I was watching the game thinking about you going, yeah, I remember Joel talking about this. Yeah.
And the thing is, to your point, yes, they're a top five team now. And again, I'm not going to pass judgment on them until after the All-Star break, because I think Daryl's going to try and do something. And I think he realizes what you said is true, Nick, that they're close, but they're not there yet. Right?
Yes.
But you can be a top five team in the NBA right now, and still, in my mind, I don't think they're going to contend for a title. I think they're going to be a top five team the rest of the season, yes. Do I think that translates to being a team that can run the table in the West? I don't. But I think that there's still time, and I know that Daryl's history is he'll make a move or two, and I think that that'd be great. It just depends on what you have to give up. Because to the Ibaka point, again, you can't afford to give up too much to deplete your bench or key rotational guys to try and get better. Unless you're giving up guys that you're replacing at that position, that makes more sense. But Decker and Harrell are arguably part of your future, and I can't see them giving up them and a first-round pick and taking a shot. Now, I will say that to your point, too, of the top five teams, the team that's desperate is the Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to go, whether it's Carmelo or something else, and I dare say they may even consider trading Blake Griffin if it means that they can get a lot of return on the investment. But I think the Clippers are going to take a real hard run at a desperation move because of the fact that they've been there, done that. They're not getting any younger, and Paul and Blake Griffin are going to be free agents.
And probably so. And they've already caught the Jazz again, so they moved back into fourth place. You're right. They've got to do something.
And keep saying, watch Utah, watch Memphis, because they're both on a roll as well. So, and you're right. I mean, look, Miami, the Rockets got them started. But with basically a makeshift second unit lineup, they won 13 in a row. That's pretty impressive. All right, before we get to break, I want to tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. I keep telling you about it because it works. The reason why it works is because you guys make it work, and therefore, we get the love for getting you involved, and we want to keep it going. Cars for Kids is a phenomenal program. It gives kids in the Houston area a second chance at an education when maybe the first chance didn't go so well. And all you have to do to help is get rid of some junk that you have around your yard, in your garage, somewhere you know that there's a vehicle, running or not, that's just collecting rust and dust and sitting there waiting to be done with. Whether you get rid of it, you tow it away, you get it to a junkyard, you try and get an ad in the paper, and you try and sell it. Well, here's where the whole process takes shape, full circle. All you got to do is one phone call. It does it all. None of the other stuff have to be done. Saves you time, saves you money, saves you energy. And you get a tax deduction. All you do is pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226, or go to HoustonCarsForKids.com and let them know what you have. They're going to do the rest. They're going to do the paperwork. They're going to come up with a tow truck. They're going to take it away, and they're going to give you a tax deduction for probably about the same value as you were going to get for it if you sold it yourself. And that's when they turn it into wheels in motion action for these kids. What they do with that clunker is they use it to make sure that they generate money that can be used towards a second chance at an education for kids, meaning kids need eyeglasses, kids need book money, they need bus fare, they need something that's going to get them a little less worried about the fact that they can just concentrate solely on the education and not the other things on the side that are distractions that could keep them from finishing their education. It's all because of you. Get involved, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know what you got. They'll take care of the rest. And as always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
My good friend is still out there trying to save face, Ty Jackson. He is engaged, but he is a women's basketball aholic. He says one that we missed. I'll save you the search, Barry. But
okay, I'll allow it.
Antonia, A N T O N I J A, Misura. Nick, M I S U R A.
I like how he's spelling it out for me because he knows I'm going to Google search.
Yep, that's why I'm doing it. Croatian basketball player. Although, Barry, this is going to kill you. Her abs.
That's not bad. That's not a manly ab thing, though.
Okay. Especially the pose she's got going for
you. Yeah. That's not bad. I'll allow that.
That's the Barry, is that it pose. So, all right.
We got this text. Yep. The Rockets are like Barry's cat. Spurts and runs.
I like it. You guys are creative.
My God, you guys, the listeners are bringing it today. I could not be more proud to call you friends right now than the stuff. Like, the thanks, Joel's, were outstanding. We've got some really good texts and tweets, man. I can't complain. And yes, you guys can stop texting about Ric Flair's daughter. I already said. Great body, bad face. I read that. I read it.
Pitching wedge? She's a pitching wedge?
Huh?
She looks good from about 100 yards out, but anything inside of that can get ugly.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that one either.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah. I like Butterface. You've heard that. Great body, butterface. Yeah. That's an old one. Yeah.
I have heard that. Now, you teased something a couple of segments ago.
Yeah, I want to get to that.
I want to hear this.
So, we all know that John Manziel, because he's grown up now, is wearing his Patriots beanie and he's got his trainers and he's trying to make a quote-unquote comeback in the NFL. And you're thinking, well, one ex-Texas college legend making a comeback is enough, right? Maybe not. What do y'all think? Well, because you got an Aggie, right?
Yeah.
Barry.
Yeah.
So, not to be outdone, Longhorn Nation now has one as well. When I tell you that Lee Steinberg has been hired to represent the comeback of Vince Young.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and Lee Steinberg tweeted, Vince Young, welcome new client. Vince Young, who has a dream of playing more football and being a role model at Longhorn Football, at Longhorn Network. I mean, look, he's making six figures by the from UT for doing pretty much nothing.
You can be a role model without embarrassing yourself with another terrible comeback. That's the only way this ends. Does anyone at all think this ends with him getting a starting position in the NFL or even a backup job?
No. There has to be some kind of money up front somewhere, right? Because they, you know, they're starting that new spring league, independent four-team football league made up of free agents. It's supposed to debut in April. And it's going to be all like NFL coaches, NFL-styled offenses and defenses so that it'll like kind of be the highway to getting back to the NFL for some guys that may have, you know, fallen by the wayside. He's already expressed interest. That's one of those deals like when we're talking about the WNBA. The WNBA gave big money to three players just to get it some credibility, which were Swoops and Lisa Leslie and Rebecca Lobo.
Yeah.
This could be where the spring league needs somebody to hang their hat on.
It's not going to work. Really? You're going to hang your hat on Vince Young?
What else you got, son?
A flame out?
That was perfect for your Vince Young, son.
Like, that's not how you build up a league. I don't. Somebody texted, Vince is worse than Brock. Or no way Vince is worse than Brock. Yeah. No, he really is. He's that bad. Brock is still in the league.
And you all thought I was kidding. He works for the University of Texas currently as a development officer in its Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. But wait, there's more. For that title and that job, he is making about $100,000 a year.
Yeah, well, but he's broke. He's broke.
Yeah.
He's broke. I mean, this is a guy that signed a $60 million contract, and like 20-something of it was guaranteed, and then he was broke. Then he goes and gets a $300,000 loan for some party that he wanted. This guy's just broke. He just needs money. And he's going to do whatever it takes to keep himself relevant. He's going to try and keep himself in the end with coaches and recruiters and all that other stuff, because that's the only thing he can do to make money. Because the type of money that Vince Young spent is like ridiculous money. It's not like Mike Tyson the way
he got.
Remember
when he declared for bankruptcy and he said that he had to give up his Friday night habit, which was going to, I think, like a Chili's every night with his boys and dropping like between $5,000 and $10,000?
What idiot spends $5,000 at a Chili's?
Especially when you can get, what, a meal, a dessert, and a drink for like $12.99 or all the commercials they run?
Are you serious? It was a Chili's? Are you sure there wasn't a club called Chili's? Like there was like a penguin, like Chili Willy or something?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't like an adult entertainment establishment. I'm almost positive it was either Chili's or...
No way you drop
$5,000
at a Bennigan's style restaurant. That doesn't seem plausible to me. Like, oh God. Well, if you do that, you deserve to be broke. I'm not even gonna lie. If you're out dropping $5,000 on a Friday, every Friday at Chili's, one, who is your posse? Like, what are you rolling with? Like, retired folks? Like, who goes to Chili's on a Friday? Unless you're in high school on your first date in like 10th grade and your mom drops you off. Maybe that was the case. Like, his mom would take him to, I mean, like, I don't know.
See, they changed this. Because it wasn't the restaurant. It's still bad, but it's still...
It's not Chili's?
It wasn't what the restaurant. It? And I swear to you that it was not Cheesecake Factory, but it says Vince Young spent $5,000 per week at Cheesecake Factory and other establishments.
I'll tell you what, if you've ever ate
TGI Fridays.
Okay.
Vince Young supposedly spent thousands a week at TGI Fridays.
And not Cheesecake Factory? Or both? Because I can see why you dropped $5,000 at Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake that place Factory is expensive. And others, but here it is. On Larry Brown Sports, The Associated Press reports Young suing former business advisors, blaming for his financial problems. Nick, to your point, he apparently has little money left despite earning over $26 million in guaranteed playing money alone without endorsements. Even looks like Young spent around $60 million. That figure is pre-taxes. We're probably looking at an amount of $35 million he has spent, which is an absurd figure. How did he blow through it, you ask? Well, according to people who served Young and other titans at restaurants in Tennessee, the quarterback would spend thousands of dollars at restaurants like TGA Fridays or Cheesecake Factory. One person who claimed to used to work at the Cheesecake Factory says that Young and the Titans came into the restaurant after every game during the season. He said players would order a few items from each page of the menu. They would drink a bunch of alcohol, and the bill would be at least $4,000 or more each time, and Young always now, picked up the
check. You know how like you go somewhere and you're like, yo, let me get shots for my boys. Like, is he like, yo, let me get some chocolate vanilla cheesecake for my crew. Let me get a slice for the whole place, man. Like, we living it up. And he's just like throwing cheesecake and money and geez,
making it rain.
God, what?
That's and another crazy. Favorite spot was TGA Fridays in Nashville. Young used to hang out there. At one point, one of the bartenders said he spent over $6,000 in one sitting.
Like, that's just insane.
Yeah, so we got a caller that wants to chime in. Mark, you want to talk? You want to talk about VY? What's up?
Oh, how you guys doing, fellas? One of the things I was thinking about is that league is that even though Vince Young is a burnout, but I think they're banking on the fact that Texas will at least tune in to those games and kind of give him some ratings as far as when he's playing, which turns into dollars during commercials. And another thing is, you know, a lot of people on the south side of Houston know that when Vince used to come in town, if you just so happen to be sitting in the same restaurant with him, he may pick up your tab. He's known for picking up the tab for other tables.
Mark, would you watch it just because he's playing? Would you watch this?
Yeah, well, I would check it out. I would want to see it. I want to see what he got going on, you know, especially since there's nothing else going on at that time.
Don't be part of the problem, Mark. You're being part of the problem now. This is how he's able to do this, because you would watch it.
It's like Mark, what, it's the old adage of driving down the highway and seeing an accident, and you got to slow down to watch. It's like you're supposed to turn away, but you want to watch. Is that what you're saying with Vince Young?
Oh, he's gone.
It's a car wreck, right?
Yeah, I'm not watching that. I have no interest in watching a washed up quarterback that's burned. I mean, I love what he's doing for the kids and being a role model and helping UT out and going back to his roots and all that is, I applaud him for that. But there just comes a time when it's just time to not be in the limelight for your
know
sport
when
anymore.
It's not there anymore. Exactly. Before someone has to tell you,
and someone wants to know why you keep saying TGA Fridays.
He said TGI Fridays. It's usually TJ. Most people say TGIF or the full name. Yeah. You know what I mean? But well, he said TJ. You said TGI Fridays is what you said.
Right. Okay. But again, anytime that they get a shot at me, it's good because I'm the blame.
And then someone said, if it's on in the summer, I'll watch. No, I won't allow this. You people are not watching this.
By the way,
it's
Vince
terrible.
Young, this just in, Vince Young's back of his jersey will say, he hate me.
Yeah.
How about that? To go back to XFL days. All right, we still got plenty more show to go. We're going to step away for a quick second. Come on back with more. Until then, I want to tell you about a locally owned and operated company that is in the business of supplying you with the best energy possible. Josh Pesikoff and his crew are a Houston-owned, Houston-operated company that provide you the best energy possible at Infuse Energy. They're not going to jerk you around, screw you over to try and make a buck and get you on a plan that works for them and not for you. They're going to be 100% honest. Every time you have an issue, you're going to get a customer service representative, not a recording and automated system. And they're going to set you up with a plan that works and is tailor-made to your needs. If you're a business and you're open from 9 to 5, closed on weekends and or nights, they're going to make sure that you get a day-loaded plan. If you're at home and you're not home during the day, but at night and on weekends you use your plan a lot and you use a lot of energy, they're going to make that plan tailor-made for you and your family. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. And right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. It's fantastic. All you got to do, get online, infuseenergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. They're all about building high-value relationships, getting a clear understanding of the program you're getting, and honesty above all is their policy with great customer service. It's Infuse Energy. Again, infuseenergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Berry, Nick till 4. Continue to roll around, bounce around the docket dial and stories of the day. We like to get into sports and more. Sometimes sports and porn cross.
Yeah, you found this one, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
don't run from that. It now.
So, I don't know if you guys remember this or not. I think some of you do more than others. But a while back, we were talking about college football. Ole Miss has a quarterback that was pretty popular. Evidently, he has some aspirations to follow and or chat with porn stars.
You're right? Speaking of?
I'm speaking of Kelly, the quarterback.
Chad Kelly
from Ole Miss.
Yep.
And it's Mia Khalifa?
You know how to say it. Don't act like you don't.
Okay. So she's a Florida State.
Is it Maya? Is it Mia? You know how it is.
It is what it is. So Khalifa, as we'll call her, is a Florida State fan.
Yep.
And so Chad Kelly starts kind of, he tries to, what do you call that, troll to get into a DM chat with her.
He tried to slide up in her DMs back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you take it from here, Barry.
Okay, so he sent her like a thing, said, hey, add me on Snapchat. I hope I see you at the game. And she was like, I'm only following you for recon for the Seminoles. Like, I'm not interested in you, dude. And he was like, oh, haha, that's funny. What'd you think of the show? And then she responds with, weakness number one, can't resist the urge to slide into DMs of girls out of his league. So that all went down.
Right. Back a while back.
Yeah, and so he got trolled for that. And then apparently when he didn't get an invite to the combine, she was talking about how she said something and said, he wasn't invited to my DMs either. So he'll probably show up to the combine drunk, asking Gruden if he wants to FaceTime. That Mia Khalifa is savage on Solid. Chad Kelly. Because this was back in September of 2016, where she was like, shouldn't you spend more time in your playbook and less time in my DMs? Hashtag Knowles. And then all this comes out, and this was yesterday when she said the thing about he'll probably show up to the combine drunk asking Gruden if he wants to FaceTime. That is, I don't know if she has anyone writing this stuff for her, but that is the very definition of savage.
Now, and here's the other thing.
I would log off if I was Chad. Sorry.
From a purely football standpoint. And then, by the way, she has new t-shirts.
Yes, she does.
Which is with the letters
I'm
DM
retweeting this.
And a slide.
I'm retweeting it
right
now.
For guys that want to slide into her DM chats.
Yeah.
And she says to Kelly at the end of it, hey, man, what's your address? Because I want to send you a t-shirt.
That's so cold-blooded,
man. So she's killing him.
Yeah, she really is. He should just probably block her.
And yeah,
like this, Joel, this is when it would be appropriate to block someone if they murder you this bad. Because I don't like the original one about shouldn't you spend more time in your playbook and less time in my DMs got retweeted 12,000 times and liked 20,000. Like, you're pretty much internet famous now when something like that goes down and those kind of numbers happen. That's I wouldn't want to be on the end of that. I meant that several different ways. But yeah, that's pretty savage, man. That's
And then like you said, I don't know if she's writing her own material or not, but she comes with a lot of game. Not just visually, but her tweet. But this also behooves me to ask this question. What the hell happened to Chad Kelly that you went from like one of the top five quarterbacks in the nation before in the preseason and everything like that to a guy that can't even get an invite to the combine, and they're saying, well, now they're trying to cover it, saying, well, it's about his off the field stuff that's gotten to be a distraction. The NFL doesn't want any part of that. That's again why they said, you know, Mixon at Oklahoma is not going to get an invite. I had not heard that much about Chad Kelly to say they're going to keep him out of the combine.
Well, I saw he was uninvited.
Yeah, that's what I saw. He got distant. Like, he was initially invited, and then they rejected it.
Yeah.
Or they took it away.
Yeah. Hey,
so what the hell are you doing between the end of the season and now that is getting you uninvited from the combine?
Pornhub.
And
there's porn. I mean,
can you ever have that?
I mean, the guy is consistently getting rejected over the course of how many months has this happened now? Because the first one was in September, you said, right?
Yeah, initially it was like the 5th of September. Yeah,
I think she relayed the message. I mean, she let him know up front. I mean, it wasn't completely direct, but she let him know what was going down. Well, why you keep trying to message her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all started on the 5th of September, and then she recently just picked it up and ran with it after he got the uninvitation to the combine.
Well, you know, he got arrested a while back, and then he did, like, community service. And so they were saying, well, somebody, I guess his agents or somebody was saying that Chad is being singled out and being made an example of. It definitely isn't domestic abuse, and it definitely isn't a violent crime. So I don't know what's going on, but it has something. I think it might have something to do with the arrest that he went through. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'll try to dig something up and see what specifically the reason was for after this break. But
and
yeah.
How great is it too when she says, when she sends, do you want the T-shirt? Yo, swag. What's your address? Want to mail you a shirt?
She called him swag.
Yeah, and oh, then puts God. His Twitter handle. She's
so good.
She's pretty ruthless. So that was pretty classic. So that was a fun story that we got to cover and one that we want to talk about because, of course, we keep it to more than just sports. And that's a great opportunity when sports and porn cross.
Right. Here's a good text you're going to like.
Oh, boy. All right.
No, why do you say it like that, Joel?
Because normally I don't when you say that, but go ahead.
Well, I didn't laugh like Snagglepuss, so you know it's not a you know it's a good one. Joel, I love the show. You're a great addition to the 97.5 team.
Wow.
I personally waited on VY several times in his playing career in Tennessee, and he is an egotistical moron. And his card declined on multiple visits.
This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's quality right there.
And one of his teammates had to pay the tab. That is, if you look, bro, you're not handling your money right if you can't even check out of a Chili's or of TGI Fridays or whatever the hell it is.
And by the way, Mike, like, it get me. Take a lesson from the texter.
Uh-oh.
When you call the show or you text the show, come with that kind of... We were waiting for Get Me to be able to top the story from Uber yesterday, and we went boop, 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 boop.
I actually expected him to like, hammer Uber. Like,
yeah,
Uber
I did too.
That's what I was waiting all the way. For some substance. Too,
but he didn't do that, so...
This is... I feel like we need to go Jim Rohn, be like, have a take. Don't suck. Like, call clones. Call with your takes ready. Don't read them. Like, yeah, that was a terrible Jim Rohn, but... somebody said Joel Embiid responded to her on Twitter. See, now this is getting good. I got to go find all this.
I saw it on Twitter that there was some.
I think Joel.
Why would you get in the middle of that, dude? She's just gonna drag you down the stage.
Yeah, she may act nice now, but be careful what you wish for in a public forum. And by the way, they also said that Joel Embiid, who is probably going to miss maybe even the rest of the season with arthroscopic knee surgery, was at a concert the other night cutting rug.
I did see it on stage.
Yeah, not a good look. Not a good look if you're trying to... It's not Jeff Kent, so to speak. But still, when you're getting ready to do knee surgery and you're cutting rug, not something that you should probably do in public. Maybe not something you should be doing in private either.
Yeah.
All right, with that being said, two in the books, one to go, plenty more show. And we have you guys to thank for a lot of it. If you want to chime in and be a part of it, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.